I'm going to start out tonight with, I'll get back to that, those verses in just a minute, but I wanted to start out with a testimony, and I'm going to start with the story of my salvation, and I'm going to start off in a way that probably going to take a few of you by surprise. I need to apologize to the church because this is where some of you think I'm going to renounce my calling, but I'm not. Whenever I joined this church, I said that I was saved when I was driving down the road in the dump truck, down Wilkes Mountain. But actually, I just uttered the words that day, and this was long after I got saved. And I thank the Lord for preachers, and that verse that you just read before then that said that how are we here without a preacher? There was two of them that were at this church. One of them was Preacher Eric, and said that you can't be saved twice. And Preacher Jason said that you have to be lost before you can be saved. You have to know that you're lost. And these things started working on me. The Holy Spirit started digging in me, and I remembered back to when I was saved. And I didn't bring it up. I didn't bring it before the church because it just seemed like a good way to do it at the church. I uttered the words, and I said, Lord, this is when I feel like I was saved. And then the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, and he said, are you that ashamed that you can't go back to the time that I saved you? And I said, Lord, I'm not ashamed of you. I'm ashamed of me. See, it was probably 20-some years ago, and I was in a mess. I was drunk, couldn't get out of it, looking for man's way to get out of it, and I couldn't pull out. I looked to his ways to get out of it, and I couldn't. There was no way. I was fighting it hard. And, I mean, it's time I don't like to look back on. But laying in bed one night, I believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and knew that he could save me and get me out of that. And by the grace of God, he pulled me up. That next morning when I woke up, there was no more need for that habit, no more need for that addiction. I knew I was born again, but it was just hard for me to get back to that. But I thank God for preachers that made me think back and not being ashamed of the Lord, knowing that that's when I got saved. But now that I got that apology out of the way, see, the thing about it was, after I got saved, how many of y'all, whenever you buy a new car, you go and read the owner's manual first thing? Any of you? No? I figured me and some of the brothers would help you reset your clocks in the car when we get out of church. See, that was the problem. After I got saved, I wasn't in church at the time. I knew that Jesus could save me from what I was going through, but I didn't have my owner's manual. I wouldn't look in it. I knew what to do, but I wouldn't go that way. And I wouldn't take the time, like you should with your car, to have it serviced maybe once a week or so, which is kind of what we do in church. And I didn't have those things, and I wasn't looking that way. I knew that I was saved, and I was thanking God for what he did. He finally got me away from something that I got myself into it for years. But I wasn't going any further with it. Those of you that know black and white TV, this is where you see the train going down the tracks and the bridge is out, and there's going to be a train wreck like you've never seen at the end of it. Because I wasn't doing the things I need to keep my spiritual growth growing. And I believe that the Lord will do things in your life to get a hold of you when he wants to. This happened years later. See, this bothers me bad. My brother-in-law died, and this is something that got us in church, my wife and I both, is we'd been bebopping around in churches, not anything serious, but because of his death, we got blessed with two young children that came and spent the night with us about every other weekend. And being the good, what we thought may be Christians, we need to get these kids in church. So we started going to church, what was convenient, over in Ashe County with my sister-in-law. And that's why it's hard for me, between with his death and getting us in church, I pray to God that it's not why that had to happen, or that's what it took to get us in church. But we started going to church over there, started growing spiritually. I can say this about him because he describes himself this way. He calls himself a flat-top, big-eared preacher. His name's Jim Belcher. I love that man. But we started growing spiritually with that. He was preaching at the church at that time and started growing spiritually. Things started going good. My language changed. See, what was happening with that train wreck is the devil will get a hold of you when he can, because I wasn't in my owner's manual and I wasn't getting the service that I needed on a weekly basis. The devil will start creeping back in. And that's, you know, when we started going to church, things started getting cleaned up. Language started changing. Stopped lying. I quit telling lies to people. That just make you feel bad in general. But one of the last times he was there, it was funny because he was preaching. And he gave out one of these, like, it was normal around in Baptist churches, which I wasn't used to because I used to go to a Lutheran church. He was preaching, and all of a sudden he just let out, "Amen." I was like, "Amen." I'd never said that before. That's when I knew things were starting to change. Lord led us to Mount Lebanon. After that, other things happened at that church. That's a whole nother sermon. But started growing spiritually faster. But I knew that something didn't feel right. Was working, got the clerk position, was working, thinking I was, you know, working for the Lord. Started singing in the choir, started teaching the kids, you know. That was going good. I was growing spiritually. But there was a void there that I didn't know wasn't being filled, and I couldn't figure it out. We got down to the scripture that I was getting to, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I started reading that. Things started getting a hold of me. I lost my place. And I started looking into this verse and what I was going through at this time, which was I went through many, many years, 20-some years up until this was about 4 years ago when we started going to church here. And then all of a sudden, I was having a hard time right at the end of this trying to explain this, because everything started happening like a whirlwind. When it started clicking fast, and it's hard to keep up with for me. But this piece of scripture, when I was looking to fill that void, this got a hold of me. I can't remember if somebody preached it. I know somebody did, or if I just read it, I can't remember. But I started breaking this down that, you know, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, I started looking at this, and I was studying it out, which I'm finding out that is I love to do. If y'all want to check this out, I did get it through the Strong's Greek Dictionary. But the word holy, it means properly clean, innocent, modest, and perfect. Right after that, the word acceptable is well-pleasing. To be conformed to this world, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, and I was looking at the may prove, and it's to test or to examine. And I was smiling this morning when Preacher Wynn came in and he started talking about communion. And he said, you know, it's time to examine yourself. And this is what I had to do. I started examining myself when I found this, feeling this void and I didn't know how to fill it. And the Lord led me to the scripture and I was like, well, let me take a look here and see what's going on. On the outside, everything looked peachy clean, you know. But I started looking inside, and I'd changed a bunch of stuff in my life. I thought everything was going good. I got rid of the big, bad stuff. And then I started thinking, and I started looking at this, and I was like, am I properly clean? Am I well-pleasing to the Lord? And then the Holy Spirit started working on me and showing me some stuff that I had going on. And I'm sure I know it's not just me, but some stuff I had to look at, some stuff I had to take care of. If you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew, keep your place here, Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. It says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And I started thinking about things of this world that your eyes take in. And this stuff is all around us, men, women, young people. I mean, this applies to everybody. I started thinking about the stuff that we see on the television, the things that we see. I heard a woman on the radio, a sister, talking about, she was talking to the ladies. She said, we need to dress ourselves modestly so that gentlemen, basically, wouldn't look upon them with sin or something. I can't remember exactly how she phrased it, but I thought, you know, amen, sister, but this isn't just ladies dressing right. This is also for the guys. It's a 50-50 thing. It's not just all the women that it's your responsibility, because our eyes are so big and we take in so much with our eyes. Like I said, we've got television. We've got, I mean, just look when you're driving down the street, what's walking down the street. I love wintertime. You know why? Because people put more clothes on. When you go into the grocery store, you look at the newsstand. And this stuff, I mean, you can't get away from it. The internet, oh my gosh. This brings a whole new fathom of what your eyes would take in. With your eyes that take stuff in, with me, I can afford myself one glance, and that's it. And it's going back to this word, examine. You got to examine yourself, but also what your eyes take in. I feel when you take more than one glance, you start to examine things. And if you think about that, it doesn't take you long to figure out he's right, because you can, with one glance, you can look at something and you can tell if it's going to be a threat to you or if somebody's in danger or somebody needs help, any number of things. But when you actually start to look at somebody or something for more than a glance, you will start to examine it. And when you do, it's going to start going through your brain and into your heart. And I've got down here that the glance takes training. I like a good challenge. I know Preacher Wynn does too, because he's competitive. But Try doing that one time and seeing the devil will try and pull your eyes back. He'll try and rip your head around to turn back and look. But if you can just stick to that one glance, I promise it'll help you. I think about what's on the television. It's easy to turn away from things that you see, maybe in the street, in the stores with magazine covers. The television, I had a good one. I unhooked it. I had two channels that I watched on that thing, and it was the Weather Channel and maybe Glenn Beck every once in a while. But everything else I was watching on that was trash. There's very little on TV that's very good. So next best thing, we unhooked the cable. So now if I need to see anything, I can pull it up on the internet. Here's something else. Remember I was saying what you're looking about on the internet. I think even the young people can relate to this. How many times whenever you get off the computer, do you go to your history and delete your history so the next person on that computer, whether it be your mother, your father, brother, sister, so they're not seeing what you're looking at. But what we need to look at is there somebody that's seeing that history and it's never going away. That's our Heavenly Father. You need to look at not just who's seeing it down here, but who's watching you 24/7. This goes with the well-pleasing. You need to do things that are pleasing to the Lord. This is going a lot faster than I thought. Y'all ever had things that just pop into your head? I mean, not good things, but bad things, whether it be immoral, vengeful. I thank the Lord again for preachers. I heard one on the radio. And I've got this stuff that goes into my head. I didn't know how to get rid of it. It was eating me up during the day. I'd be sitting there mowing, you know, which is what Sharon and I do for a living. And when you're mowing big, long stripes, I mean, you got plenty of time to think. I'm thankful now that things are going better. I got good time with the Lord. Get a lot of praying done, a lot of studying, a lot of thinking about stuff. Holy Spirit's good. But before I got a grasp on this stuff, things would just pop in my head. And I'm talking things that you say to yourself, Lord, I shouldn't be thinking about this. And I tried and tried and tried. Devil, Satan, get out of my head, get out of there. I shouldn't be thinking about this, shouldn't be thinking about this. And nothing was working. And this preacher came over the radio, and God's timing is good because I was about at my wit's end with this. I was like, this is what's keeping me from doing what I need to in the church. This is what's keeping this from happening. I can't get this out of my head. It came over the radio, and this is probably, y'all, after I say this, you're going to go, duh. But it didn't hit me. He said, when you get these thoughts that come into your head, you need to pray with authority. And that authority is in Jesus' name. And I get these little, I call them micro prayers. Because when I get these little things that pop into my head, and you can, I haven't tried this on everything, but before you have that keystroke on the computer that's going to lead you to a site that you know you shouldn't be on, before you flip that TV station to something you shouldn't be watching that you know is wrong, when I had these thoughts going through my head, and he said, pray with authority and pray in Jesus' name because he is authority. You know, we already know down the road that Satan's going to lose. I couldn't get it through my thick head that we can control him right now if we want to. That we don't have to let the things of this world and the devil get inside of us, get in our hearts, through our eyes, and ruin us and go against God. So I tested this out one day. Here's that word, test. It's going to come up again, too. That may prove to test. Something popped in my head one day, and I said, Satan, get out of my head. I don't need to think about this in Jesus' name. And brothers and sisters, it was like a light switch. That thought went out of my head, And I've used this on several occasions, and it's pretty cool because sometimes, I don't know if you've ever seen two wires, electrical wires, when they come close together, how they go zzz. Every once in a while, I can feel this in my brain. I'll get out of my head in Jesus' name. It goes, and it's gone. But this doesn't happen all the time. This is just, man's probably going to say, this is just your brain's way of overcoming one thought with another. Bull. It's not. I've tried it before. It's not going away. That's the power of the Lord. I thank God for that. It took me forever to figure this out, but thank God by the words of a preacher over the radio. And I hope you take that and use it, because I think, to me, this was huge. It's a lot sweeter walk with the Lord now, because I know that I've got that much more control over the devil. He's still going to try and get in. And by far, I'm not perfect. I'm not standing up here saying I've got it all whipped. This is how it is. I'm just trying to tell you, these are little tidbits, the stuff that I've found that can help you. And I hope they do, because they help me tremendously. But, oh, there's so much power in Jesus' name. That was just awesome. And this, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To me, that was the transforming and the renewing. Like I said, now when I'm mowing, I can control those thoughts that just pop in there. And I'm not some kind of psychopath either. I know this is not happening to other people other than me. If you look on down in verse 2, I think this is the part that really kind of got to me. Yet, we need to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is something we ought to be doing daily anyhow. After I started getting a hold of things, the Lord really started working fast. Faster than before. I'd always hit a stumbling block right here when I was preparing for this. And I said, Lord, help me get through this. Because it all just happened, like in the past month. Things started going right. I still had that void. I didn't know what it was. Thank God for Preacher Jason. When he surrendered to preach and preached that message that next Sunday night, is that right? Sharon made a joke. She said, Preacher Jason preached his first message and stepped on somebody's toes and it was all over yours. I came away from that. Y'all know the big clown feet, about this long, flattened out? That's what I felt like when we left that service. I needed that message, brother. I thank God for that. It was what I was going through. I didn't know. I had no clue what I was going through. I started sitting up front one day, and it's not because I thought, well, I need to go up and sit with the preachers, or I just still didn't know what was going on. I couldn't sit back where my family is right now. I couldn't sit back there. Lord was saying, this isn't where you need to be. And I couldn't figure it out. It's like, okay. The Lord started working in me hard. And it was his calling, and I didn't realize it. I'm trying to get back to where I was at. Back down in that verse 2. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? I started searching for that, and I think that's when the Lord started working and helping me to change all the stuff, the little stuff that was going on. Well, I won't say little. It's huge. Sin is sin. There's no little and big. It's all the same in the eyes of the Lord. But that word will, when I was studying this out, it means desire. The perfect desire of God. And I think the perfect desire of God would be to walk just that much closer with Him. And that's where all this cleaning up came from. I thank the brothers and sisters here that have prayed for me and my wife, that the Lord's will be done in our lives. Brother Jason, again, for that message, and for Preacher Wynn. That testing when I was being called and I didn't know what it was. Kind of figured it out that night that Preacher Jason preached that message. But this, y'all maybe think the bad, but I tried to push God's buttons a little bit. I was praying. I said, Lord, if this is what you want, I want you to let me know. And the first time, He let me know a little bit. I could feel, I can't explain it. The preachers here that have been called know what I'm talking about. Brother Jason and I were talking about it. And it's one of these, I felt this, you know what I mean? Yeah, I know what you mean, but you can't explain it. You don't know what it is. I've never felt the power of the Holy Spirit like I have here recently. But I started pushing his buttons. The first time he let me know, that feeling was strong. The second time I said, this goes back to the testing may prove, all this is coming back around. I said, Lord, if it's really, really you, and this is really, really what you want, I said, heap it on like you've never done before. The day I surrendered, I thought I was going to die. If I didn't have an EMS background, I would have said straight up, I'm having a heart attack. But I knew that wasn't the case, and that's when I surrendered to preach. But that was, I think everybody needs to strive for this holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And look for that perfect desire of God, what He wants you to do in your life. I believe I'm done. I thank you for all your prayers. Y'all pray for us. Yes, that's it.